We are so wrapped up in the Christmas season, and we get so focused on one day, that day that a baby arrived in a manger, or your parties or festivities or all of that, we forget that there is a whole boatload of stories in front of that, that God had to do in order to provide us a Savior. In Galatians 4:4-5, he said, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, notice the word sent, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoptions to sonship. Why did Jesus come? So that we would have a path to sonship to God Almighty. This is the season we celebrate that set time. Okay? That set time. The Greek word for sent or sent forth is to send away, out or away on a mission with authority. Jesus was sent. He was there at the time of creation. He's always been with the right hand of the Father of God. Can you imagine the freedom he had in heaven? The praise and the glory, the adoration, all of that. And that is all wrapped up into a baby that he sent on mission. God the Father, in other words, dispatched God the Son with a divine purpose to conquer sin, death, the grave, and folks, Satan. Biblical Greek word to become, born, is to become. Become. You'll notice in Scripture a lot of times when it's talk about genealogies, they use the word the father of or begat. Well, this is that means by some human reproduction. Jesus' human birth was not like any of that. He became human in a unique one-time only way as the seed of a woman, as promised in Genesis, not born of the seed of a male. In other words, Joseph had nothing to do with it. That's what he's saying. Genesis 3:15, God says, and I will put enmity, that's open hostility, between you and the woman and between your seed, offspring, if you will, and her seed, notice the capital S, he shall fatally bruise your head and you shall only bruise his heel. All the way back on the day that they sinned, God said, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. The Greek term for redeem is to buy out or buy back, and is a term for purchasing a slave's freedom. Understand, we were all in slavery to sin. We were going to die and separated from all that is good in a place that is designed for the devil and his demons. But God came. He sent his Son that he might redeem those who are in slavery. And the biblical word for adoption literally means to place as a son, granting them full legal rights, status, and inheritance as a son in the new family. It describes how believers are welcomed into God's family with full rights. Folks, every born-again child of God has full rights into the family of God, full privileges of in the family of God as an adult son through Jesus Christ. That's who you are, born-again child of God. That's who we can be in this world as well. It's during this time when we begin, as born-again children of God, to stop and fully appreciate the work God has done to do all of that. That is a marvelous thing. The miracle of conception that God did here pales in comparison to what Jesus did, how he came. That word appreciation means to recognize the full worth of something or someone. To understand fully, to recognize the full implications of it, to recognize its value. To be fully aware of something or to increase in value, it means to be grateful. To be grateful. Not just for the events of Christmas, folks, but also for the people God used to bring salvation to your life. Not just the one who spoke to you, but all of those in history past that has preserved that message of Gospel of Jesus. We need to appreciate the work God has done in the history of mankind. And to think that it all began with a young Jewish girl planning the rest of her life and an impossible role. Just as Jesus was sent forth from the Father, so was Mary sent forth or chosen to become the mother of Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 1 as we begin reading this testimony of Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, a small town, a backroads town, a not noticeable town, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What is going through her mind? She's never, young women and women like that were not addressed in public by men. Greetings, greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. What? She was disturbed. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. What does this mean? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. God, the Lord God, will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And she said, "Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus." Woo! How? How? Understand, she's maybe 14 to 16, 18 years old. Pledged to be married to a man. Engaged, but quite a bit deeper. How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. The angel answers her. You ever wonder why God doesn't always tell you why? Because if he did, you wouldn't understand it anyway, and you would just mess it up. But he's going to tell her how, okay? He's going to tell her how. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Underline that in your scripture. No word of God will ever fail in what he has given you. Look at her response. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Appreciate, folks, appreciate what was asked of Jesus. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 out of the Living Bible. Who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men, taking the form of men, some of them might say, and he humbled himself even further, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death. The word in Greek is kenosis, the emptying of oneself. Now remember where he came from. He came from the throne of God, the right hand of God. Angels served him. And he emptied. He chose to obey the Father's will and emptied himself. He did not empty himself of his divine attributes. He was still God here on earth. Jesus did not cease to be God, and he did not become a lesser God, as some of them claim. But he did lay aside the privileges of heaven that were his for you. For you. Rather than stay on the throne in heaven, Jesus made himself nothing. That's what the NIV says. In comparison to where he came from, it's nothing. Cannot even compare him. And when he gave up his divine privileges, the New Living Translation. He veiled his glory. And he chose to occupy the position of a slave. Let that float in your mind a little bit. I'm going to tell you, we can't grasp that. There's no way we can understand the glory of heaven and where Jesus was at and to empty himself and come and become an embryo in Mary. We can't grasp that, what that means. But that's what Jesus did for us. As part of kenosis, Jesus most of the time lived within the limitations of humanity. God does not get tired or hungry, but Jesus did. God does not get frustrated, but Jesus seemed to at times. God knows all things, but at times Jesus did not. Remember when the disciples asked him when the end would come, and he said, not even the Son of Man knows that. So he limited himself. He walked this earth under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, just like us. Other times his omniscience was in full display. I believe the majority of the time Jesus operated under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit just as we do. He understands that. He knows the need for authority and power to do what the Father is asking him to. And he submitted to that. We can sort of grasp the cross, can't we? We kind of understand that. We don't understand how Jesus and the Father could be separated. Father, why have you forsaken me? There's some things we don't understand, but we kind of grasp it. We got an understanding of it. But folks, there is no way we can grasp the momentous emptying of Jesus. What it took for you to have salvation. It's momentous that God would step into our world, not as a king, but as a servant, knowing his humanity would end in a substitute sacrifice. God the Father probably said, now, and Jesus said, yes, sir, now. It was Jesus' choice, look at this, and gift given to his heavenly Father to provide complete redemption for God's creation he so deeply loves. Never underestimate God's love for you. Yes, we have a friend, but we have a Savior. We have a Lord, and we are to submit to His Lordship. Spend some time this Christmas season contemplating and appreciating and be grateful for the gift God's Son, our Heavenly Father, has given us. How He left the glories of heaven and took upon Himself the limitations of flesh. You realize he went through the birth canal, don't you? He knows us from the conception on. There's no part of humanity that he does not understand because he has experienced it. We can trust him. But we also need to appreciate and ask what was asked of Mary. The Catholic Church worships Mary. They believe that you pray through her, she goes to Jesus and asks him, and it flows that away. Okay? We'll talk about that in a minute. The Protestant church mostly ignores her. And I think both positions are incorrect. God only uses sinners to accomplish his will on earth because that's all he's got to work with down here. He accomplishes it. And Romans tells us in 3:23, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We remember when Mary went to take Jesus home because he was doing things that embarrassed the family. He was told that your mother and brothers are outside, and Jesus says, who's my mother? He rejected her at that point. Folks, I'm not going to go to Mary to ask anything of Jesus. I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to Jesus. But just as we revere Moses and David, Peter and Paul, we must revere Mary's work in bringing salvation to our world. Hear that. If it wasn't for Mary, there would be no salvation. We really cannot grasp what becoming pregnant outside of marriage was like during Mary's time. We can't today grasp that. There would be, her life would be full of rejection and shamefulness for her and her family, and really the entire village or town would become known because of her sinfulness. She would be falsely accused. She wouldn't have all the answers that she needed to make her decisions. How do you raise the Messiah? You mess that up, we're really messed up, aren't you? How do you do that? And even when she asked the question of how, God said the answer from God was true and totally ununderstandable. Basically, he said, don't concern yourself with the high, Mary. God's going to take care of that. Folks, when he calls you to do something, don't be concerned with the how. God's going to take care of that. You be obedient to any direction that he leads you. So what was God's opinion of Mary? After all, that's the only one that really counts. You understand that? God's opinion of you is the only one that really counts here on this earth. Verse 28, greetings, you who are highly favored. Now, folks, she's a 14, 18-something year old girl. God says, you are highly favored. That Greek word means there's going to be grace. You are so graced, you cannot even understand it. Folks, as a born-again child of God, we are highly favored, bestowed with grace that we cannot even imagine. It emphasizes that God's grace is a completed action. We're going to do this, Mary. I'm going to do it through you. It's going to start, and I'm going to be with you all the way through is what it really means, ongoing effect. She was divinely graced and remained so. He said, you have found favor with God. You have found favor. That is unmerited, undeserved, and unconditional love and favor. God looked upon Mary not because she was perfect, but within her was the spirit of obedience. And if he asked her to do this, she will do it. You have found favor. It represents God's graciousness, kindness, and goodwill towards people. Folks, as a born-again child of God, we have found favor with him as well. And it's always when we get to represent him, there is a favor that is given us. Throughout history, it's always been considered a privilege to be called into king's service. Always. And we can now recognize that it was a privilege of Mary becoming Jesus' mother. In spite of everything, we recognize what a blessing it is. But what about the privilege of serving the king in your sickness or your distress or whatever comes into your life? Understand, as a born-again child of God, I believe that there is nothing that God does not will or allow in our lives. He is in complete control. So we are called then, and we have the privilege to serve him even in our sickness or distress, or whatever comes into your life, or the privilege of serving Jesus as his hands and feet and voice to a lost and eternally dying world. We have that privilege to serve a risen Savior. When looking at our lives, will we be more like Mary? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be true. You also hear that in her words on John 2, verse 5. Mary said to the servants, whatever he tells you, do it. I can tell you no other greater thing to do here on this earth. Whatever he tells you to, just do it. I need to know why, Randy. No, you don't know why. I need to know how, Randy. No, you'll know why. How? He will do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So spend some time this Christmas even to contemplate and appreciate the grateful and be grateful to the gift Mary, the mother of Jesus, has given us. It flew through her. Your salvation flowed through Mary. But I want you to also appreciate the people salvation's message passed through to come into your life. The life of Mary was just the first step of your salvation. Just the first. Can we not take time and appreciate the gift of the apostles gave us in preserving and teaching and publishing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we not take some time and appreciate the many who died for the gospel of salvation so that one day your ears would hear the wonderful work of salvation made available to you? In the history of the church, there is a whole history that we need to appreciate what has happened. Can we not appreciate the people who told us about this great salvation God was offering us? Appreciate them. There's a name coming to your mind, isn't there? Can we not appreciate the many people who helped grow us up in this salvation? Take some time to appreciate the great work that God has done to bring salvation to you. We can call it our hall of faith. What do you think the odds are of a small group of witnesses in the first century, from an obscure area of the world, with little to no power, passing through centuries of satanic hatred, then presented to you the salvation message? What are the odds? Mankind would say, it is impossible. Impossible. Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are. All things are. So appreciate your salvation during this Christmas season. When things get rushed and you get anxious, think of Mary. When unsure what to do, remember Mary. When asked to do something that may seem unpleasant at the start, remember Mary. There was a man named David Meese that wrote this song, and hopefully it comes through. If not, we'll read his words. As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, and all the gifts and toys we knew we would find. And we're going to read it slowly. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. You messing with it? What were you doing?
Well, that would be your computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You changed it to Bluetooth instead of computer.
Okay. So it'll work this time? Will it work this time? Yes! I want to do it again. Folks, we are the reason that he came. We are the reason that he was born. We are the reason that he walked this earth for 33 years being human. We are the reason he went to the cross. We are the reason he went to the tomb. We are the reason he rose from the grave. And folks, throughout eternity, he will be the reason we will praise and worship him forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus, for the gift of Mary, for the gift of all of those who have gone before us that held the gospel of Jesus close, for the ones that came into my life and told me about the Lord Jesus, who walked with me, for those that in our lives that have helped us mature in this faith. And Lord, may we never forget this season, the preciousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone here who does not know your salvation, may they come and receive that. If their heart is heavy this morning, may they come to your altar, knowing that you will meet them there. If they're just seeking answers, the altars will be open. Bless now, and I thank you for your glory alone. Amen.